Studios, Minneapolis, St. Pauli, 3-0-WCCO.
This is Jurgen Nash with your 5 o'clock news, presented by the largest savings institution in our part of the country, Twin City Federal, where dividends help in an important way to make your savings grow. The city of Minneapolis has a new civil rights ordinance today. The city council unanimously passed the measure this morning. The law combines the present Fair Employment Practices Commission and the mayor's Human Relations Commission and contains a fair housing provision that exempts both owner-occupied duplexes and owner-occupied rooming houses. The law also includes what is called an anti-riot provision. It's illegal now for groups to organize for the purpose of creating civil disobedience. General criticism of the bill by civil rights leaders centers on enforcement provisions, with many claiming it does not give the new commission adequate power to enforce its orders. Civil rights leader Martin Luther King has agreed to halt marches into all white neighborhoods in Chicago in exchange for far-reaching guarantees of open housing for Negroes. A march into suburban Cicero was postponed indefinitely as a result of the agreement between King and Chicago civic leaders today. King said Negroes would begin moving into all white neighborhoods immediately. And in Washington today, Connecticut Senator Abraham Ribicoff accused Cleveland, Ohio Mayor Ralph Locher of ignoring the plight of slum residents until tensions erupted in riots. Ribicoff is chairman of the Senate subcommittee investigating urban blight and violence. The Twin City Federal folks stress passbook saving because it is the most convenient of several ways to save. Put in any amount anytime, take out money the day you need it without waiting for the end of a given time period. That is the beauty of a Twin City Federal passbook savings account. And what's more, Twin City Federal pays a generous return on that convenient savings plan. The current rate is 4.5% per year, and it's compounded quarterly, which works out to be $4.58 per year on each $100 you save. Now, that is with the convenience of passbook saving. The future is great for you and your savings at Twin City Federal. 8th and Marquette is the address in Minneapolis. 6th and Robert in St. Paul. Branch offices in Anoka, Robbinsdale, Edina, Excelsior, Southdale, Harmar Mall in Roseville, and 56th and Nicollet, where the famous twin clock flashes the time and the temperature. A couple of world leaders are on the go today. President Johnson is speech-making through the center of the nation, and French President Charles de Gaulle has made the first stop in his current world tour in French Somaliland. In Idaho, Johnson said the Kremlin has no vital stakes in the Vietnam War and assured the communists of a fair bargain in any negotiations to restore peace. And de Gaulle has indicated his nation may grant independence to French Somaliland in Africa. De Gaulle's statement followed bloody anti-French riots in Djibouti, which claimed at least two lives. The stock market's continued slide was extended to a king-size dive today. Stocks ended the week lower as they have been in 12 of the last 14 sessions. The Dow Jones Industrials Average was down 11.81 at the close today. Plans to establish a new kind of industrial training school in the Twin Cities were announced today. Edgar Pillow, employment coordinator for the Hennepin County Office of Economic Opportunity, said steps are being taken to start a Twin Cities Opportunities Industrialization Center. The center would provide free training in technical fields and would be financed through private donations and federal and state grants. Pillow explains why he believes such a school is needed.
Because of the unemployment rate of the minority community in the Twin Cities, which runs about 8% as contrasted to the 3% of the white community, but a Twin Cities Opportunity Industrialization Center could do much to improve their skills and in some cases give them skills which will help them to qualify for the many jobs that are available. We have the paradox here in the Twin Cities of where many employers cannot find skilled people.
Pillow said the school would train carpenters, practical nurses, secretaries, and others, but that it would be developed in stages. Negotiations are underway to secure a site for the proposed school, and the Reverend Stanley King of Minneapolis has been named as a possible center director. Milwaukee units of the Wisconsin National Guard were made available today by Governor Warren Knowles to cope with any violence that might erupt during civil rights demonstrations in Wauwatosa this weekend. Knowles acted in response to a request for additional manpower made by Wauwatosa Mayor Urban Meyer. Meyer said he did not think his police and sheriff's deputies would be able to maintain order in situations that might arise this weekend. Knowles, in making the help of the Guard available, said that some 450 guardsmen were already due for training duty in the Milwaukee area and that these men could be called on for help. Pickets from the Milwaukee Youth Council of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People have been marching for the past week near the Wauwatosa home of Circuit Judge Robert Cannon, testing Judge Cannon's membership in the Fraternal Order of Eagles, which restricts its membership to Caucasians. Cannon has been asked to either resign from the Eagles or retire from the bench. A federal grand jury in Minneapolis today indicted three men arrested for the August 11th holdup of the Big Lake, Minnesota Bank. Patrick Foley, U.S. District Attorney, told the jury the three men, John Bow, Edward Giles, and Cleo Summers, had attempted to burglarize the bank 3 days earlier. They were indicted on two counts of conspiracy to rob the bank and on one count of robbery. The suspects, all of Little Rock, Arkansas, have been in custody since shortly after the $9,000 holdup. Authorities also say they have evidence connecting the same men with three robberies in suburban Minneapolis during July and August. The appeal of former Wisconsin Republican Assembly leader Paul Alfonsi's bribery conviction probably will not get a Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing until sometime in October or November. The September calendar for the court has been released. There is no mention of Alfonsi's appeal. A lawyer for the Minocqua Republican says he hopes to have trial and hearing transcripts sent to the high court next week. The attorney will then have 40 days to file written arguments. Alfonsi was convicted last month by a jury of accepting a $100 expense check as a bribe. The Minnesota Liaison and Facilities Commission for Higher Education this afternoon awarded more than $4.25 million to colleges and universities in the state. $1 million goes to the College of St. Catherine for the construction of a fine arts complex. Southwest State College at Marshall, Minnesota will receive another $1 million, and the University of Minnesota was granted more than $800,000 for a classroom building and $500,000 for a veterinary medicine building. Lesser grants went to Moorhead State College, Bethany Lutheran College in New Ulm, Concordia College in St. Paul, and Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter. Authorities today recovered the body of a Red Wing, Minnesota man from the Mississippi River, near the place where he jumped into the river last night. Goodhue County Sheriff's officers say 36-year-old Roger Irwin jumped, apparently on a dare, 75 feet from the Hiawatha Bridge over the Mississippi River. In a moment, we'll check the Dow Jones closings and have a look at the CCO land weather.
Tuck-a-buck-a-day away at Twin City Federal.
When you tuck-a-buck-a-day away,
it's true. Your money keeps working for you.
So tuck-a-buck-a-day away, save it for a sunny day.
Tuck-a-buck-a-day away.
Tuck-a-buck-a-day away.
Tuck-a-buck-a-day away at Twin City Federal.
Saving is convenient at Twin City Federal. The online teller system lets you transact business at any one of the nine offices in addition to the one where you opened your account. No other savings institution in this area can give you that kind of convenient service. Another good reason for saving with Twin City Federal.
Tuck-a-buck-a-day away.
Tuck-a-buck-a-day away.
Tuck-a-buck-a-day away at Twin City Federal.
Dow Jones closings. Industrials took another plunge today, down 11.81, closing at 780.56. Rails down 3.59, utilities down 1.82. Total sales today, 8,190,000 shares. Warm southwesterly winds. Southwesterly winds are bringing summer weather back to the west and central portions of CCO land and will spread over the eastern area of our five-state region by tomorrow. Temperatures in the 90s extended over the Dakotas and extreme western parts of Minnesota and Iowa. Cloudless skies accompany the warmer temperatures. A weak low-pressure trough will move into the extreme western Dakotas by tomorrow afternoon. Increasing cloudiness, possibly a few showers, will accompany the front. Twin Cities fair and warmer through tomorrow. Southwesterly winds diminishing tonight. Low tonight, 58. High tomorrow, 92. Low tomorrow night will be 60. Right now in the Twin Cities, on the Twin Clock, 84 degrees. Wind southwest, 12 miles an hour. Humidity, 48%. Skies are clear right now over the Twin Cities. 84 is the present temperature reading in the Twin Cities area. And that's the 5 o'clock regional news. This is Jurgen Nash speaking for the home of thrift in our wonderful part of the USA. Twin City Federal, where safety always comes first. Now, Dick Enroth is going to come in and bring us all the sports news.
You can vote on Minnesota candidates and see your secret ballot counted at the state fair with WCCO Radio and the League of Women Voters. Now time for Dick Enroth Sports.
Brought to you by your Ford dealer who now offers you a once-a-year savings during his official 1966 Ford clearance sale. The Twins open a weekend series in Chicago tonight as Jim Merritt pitches. He's been the tough luck kid with just 2 wins and 12 losses despite a 3 runs per game earned run average. John Bozzard, who is 5-7, goes for the Chicagoans, who have managed just 1 victory in 12 games with the Twins. The fourth-place champions are 15 games out of first, but only 1 game up on Chicago. Hence, this series will have a direct bearing on fourth and fifth places, and maybe 6th, where California is lodged 2.5 games back of the Twins. Dave Boswell was to have pitched tonight, but the head injury he suffered the other night forces him to miss his turn in this series. Harmon Killebrew has been picked to make an October trip to visit U.S. troops in Vietnam. He'll go in the company of Baltimore's Brooks Robinson, Henry Aaron, and Joe Torre of Atlanta. Stan Musial, formerly the Cardinal great, will also make the trip. Tonight, the American League. Boston plays at Baltimore. Detroit visits New York. Cleveland is at Washington, while Kansas City plays at California. Baltimore leads Detroit by 11.5 games. In the National League, Chicago plays at Houston, where the regular game of this date will be preceded by completion of a recently suspended game. New York is at Atlanta, Philadelphia at Cincinnati, Pittsburgh at St. Louis. L.A. and San Francisco, where Sandy Koufax will bid for his 21st win of the season. He has lost 7. Bob Bolin will pitch for the Giants. The only other 20-game winner in the majors, Gaylord Perry of San Francisco, pitches Sunday against the Dodgers. And Jim Cotter, the Twins, seeks his 20th win against Chicago there tomorrow. San Francisco leads Pittsburgh by 0.5 game and L.A. by 2. Pittsburgh Pirates have given manager Harry Walker a new contract to manage through 1967. General manager Joe Brown said newspaper stories to the effect that Walker would not be back if the Pirates failed to win the pennant were ridiculous. Said Brown, Walker and his staff have done a great job. The team is currently 0.5 game out of first, held by San Francisco. The Minneapolis Duffs baseball team remains undefeated after 4 games in the National Baseball Congress Tournament at Wichita, Kansas. Eureka, California, and Lubbock, Texas also unbeaten play tonight, with the winner to take on the Minnesota team tomorrow night. Your Ford dealer announces his official clearance sale. Now that alone should be enough to deserve your very careful attention. After all, your Ford dealer's official clearance has come to mean many things over the years, many good things, like the lowest prices of any time during the model year, the highest trades, and in 1966, official clearance means the widest selection of colors and models in Ford dealers' history. The selection is high because this has been the most successful year in Ford history. Take your choice of any 66 from Ford, Mustang, Galaxy, Fairlane, Falcon, Thunderbird, LTD. Looking for a wagon or a hardtop? A convertible, maybe, for that summer vacation. Every 66 must go to make way for 67. So come in now and save a bundle. It's a fact, during your Ford dealer's official clearance sale, you get once a year, end of year savings on every car in stock. So if you've been waiting for an honest bargain, now's the time. Hurry while your Ford dealer still has the special models, colors, and options you want. Stop in at your Ford dealer's official clearance sale now and get ahead in a Ford all the way. The Vikings play the Washington Redskins a few minutes from now in Cleveland in the first game of a doubleheader. Cleveland and Baltimore play in the second game, as more than 83,000 fans will be looking on, and this is just an exhibition slate. Fran Tarkenton will start at quarterback. However, 10 rookies will start on the defensive and offensive teams as the coaching staff seeks further look at the newcomers. This is the fourth exhibition game in a schedule of 5 before the regular season begins. CCO airs tonight's game, starting with the Norm Van Brocklin Show at 5:20. Tomorrow, New York plays Philadelphia at Princeton Stadium. Dallas plays Detroit at Tulsa. Pittsburgh will be at Green Bay. San Francisco takes on Atlanta at Columbia, South Carolina. And St. Louis plays at Los Angeles. Yesterday, the San Diego Chargers football team of the American League was purchased for $10 million, a tremendous price for a team in the second league. It shows what a long way the American League has come to command such a price. 7 short years ago, most National League owners, as well as others, were forecasting dire things for the new league, which has so remarkably survived and succeeded. Gene Littler is threatening to jump into the lead in the Philadelphia Golf Classic. He has a 7-under par after 15 holes of today's play. Dave Marr and Don January are the early leaders after 36 holes with 138. Dick Enroth reporting sports, presented by your Ford dealer, the man who now offers you tremendous savings on the best-selling Fords ever, the 66 Fords. See him now during his official 1966 Ford clearance sale.
Your mileage and direct service dealer presents... Boy,
What's the difference between a civil and a criminal action? Can a man be tried twice for the same crime? What about the constitutional provision against double jeopardy? Well, all of these questions became important in the case of the man who paid. Today's Point of Law.
Point of Law, presented by 400 mileage and direct service dealers throughout the Upper Midwest. Direct service and mileage, where great gas and other top quality products for your car cost you less.
Norman Jensen was a young man with more money than sense. He seemed to believe that money was invented only to be spent, and thought he could buy anything with it. At the same time, he had little respect for the property of other people. Tony and Hank, his two closest cronies, had a lot of similar ideas, none of them good. Late one evening, the trio were working on an old car belonging to Hank. And Hank said,
"You know, what we really need is a new engine in this jalopy, you know? Then we can enter it in the drag races and really have some fun."
And Tony shrugged,
"Now you tell us."
But Norman had an idea. "Listen, you guys, I know where we can get a new V8 replacement motor right tonight. It's in a garage on 3rd, and we can get in there because the owner hardly ever locks up. Besides, if they never find out we took it, we might even get it for nothing."
So the three did get into the unlocked garage and muscled the motor out into Hank's car. But as they were leaving, they were spotted by a patrol car. They were chased, and in trying to get away, spun into a ditch where Hank's car and the V8 motor were wrecked. When Norman refused to pay for the motor, the garage owner sued him for the price in a civil action. And the garage owner won judgment and collected his $350 plus court costs. Then the district attorney filed a criminal action against young Jensen, charging grand theft. The defendant's attorney told the court, "My client has already paid for the merchandise. The garage man got the full price. The state shouldn't try to put Norman in jail now for two reasons. One, the crime has been wiped out by payment. And two, the garage owner himself was guilty of contributory negligence in leaving his garage door unlocked. This case should be dismissed." The district attorney said, "The same act may be both a civil and a criminal offense. In one case, the lawsuit is by an individual. In the other, it is by the state. So payment to the individual does not wipe out the offense against the state. Moreover, contributory negligence is no defense in a criminal case. Norman should be held guilty." Could Norman be put in jail after he has paid all damages? You'll learn the court's decision and today's Point of Law in just a moment. Sooner or later, it's bound to happen. You're going to run low on gas in front of a mileage or direct service station when you're not a mileage or direct service credit card customer, but drive right in anyway. Mileage and direct service stations honor all oil company and other major credit cards. They welcome every opportunity to introduce you to their great gas that costs you less. Your attendant will ask you to present your credit card just as your regular station does. He'll ask you to sign the purchase slip just as your regular station does, and then the mileage and direct service folks will bill you direct. Couldn't be easier. So next time you need gas and your regular station isn't close, turn in at the big red arrow. Remember, mileage and direct service stations welcome all oil company and other major credit cards. Know a nicer way to get acquainted? Mileage direct service. Why not stop in today? You may decide to sign up for one of their credit cards.
Does payment in full for stolen goods bar a later prosecution for larceny? In the case of the man who paid, the answer was no. The garage owner was entitled to the price of its damaged motor. But the state also has the right to prosecute Norman criminally for the protection of the public. Payment for a crime is not an acceptable defense. If it were allowed, many criminals would simply return the loot when caught and so escape punishment. So even though he had already paid in full, Norman was still held guilty of his crime and sentenced accordingly. It's a point of law. When we sell an item to someone, the law says that we make an implied promise that the merchandise is suitable for the purpose intended. But many items are useful in more ways than one, and that implied promise became quite a problem in the case of the purebred bull. Our next point of law.
Point of Law, brought to you by the 400 mileage and direct service dealers throughout the Upper Midwest. Remember, compared to the high-priced brands, the big difference is the money you save with mileage or direct service gasoline.
Twin Cities temperature, 82 degrees now at 19 minutes past 5. Now the Norm Van Brocklin Show. It's the Vikings preview show with Coach Norm Van Brocklin. A preview of tonight's game with the Washington Redskins. The Vikings preview show is brought to you by the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Minnesota. Score with the Vikings, win with Coke. Now for the latest on the Vikings, here's Sid Hartman of the Minneapolis Tribune and Coach Norm Van Brocklin.
This is Cleveland, Norm. In just a few minutes, you take on the Washington Redskins. How about your offense? We know you've been a little unhappy with it. Have you worked hard on it in practice this week?
Well, we've been working on our running game quite a bit. We got to get our guards a little more active than they've been. Our guards are key to the offense. They haven't pulled well. They haven't fired up, blown anybody back. Pass protection's been a little poor. We've been trying to get them going. If we get them going, we'll have a good running game. And their backs, some of them haven't run as well as we would have liked them to, but on the other hand, they have to have a few blocks in order to go, and I think that if it was ever borne out, it was borne out in the last 3 weeks. You got to have some people knocking people down before you can advance the ball.
Norm, isn't it true, however, that you haven't had your first-string backfield together a lot?
Well, we played Mason Brown together several times, just about split the duty the first three ball games. We're not concerned about them as much as we are the other fellas. Now we're down to five backs, this is the number we plan to carry during the season, and we just can't afford to get anybody hurt. And we're a little concerned about King's knee, and it's been in the cast, you know. And we're going to play him. He needs the work very badly, and his conditioning is very poor. And we hope to play old Chief in shape this Friday.
How about any of the other young backs? Will you play them in this ball game?
Well, the only young back we got left is Dave Osborne. We moved Lindsay to spread in hopes that he can learn that position now. He's learned fullback. He knows fullback. He can play halfback. Now he learned spread in and flanker. Well, he's capable of playing four positions for us as well as special teams. So he's a valuable piece of merchandise, Sid. Oh, boy.
And Norm, how about your lineup overall against Washington tonight? Who will you start?
Well, we are going to start 10 rookies. Moment of truth, if you will, is here for a lot of them. Time is running out on us. And the only fair, honest way that I know how to operate is to give them a ball game and give them a chance to perform under game conditions, assuming that they have enough ability to stay here this long. We're going Fitzgerald and Ursel McVee on the corners, Stan Quintana, the free safety, and Gary Hill at strong safety. Gary Hill was on our taxi squad last year, but actually he's untested. And we'll play Axe in there behind him, Hansen and Novogratz, the linebackers, along with our fine middle linebacker, Lonnie Warwick, Briggs, defensive end, Tilleman off our taxi squad, a defensive tackle. Our first draft choice, Jerry Shea at left tackle. And then we'll alternate Ellern and Marshall at the defensive end. Dixon, incidentally, has come up with a skin rash, and it's getting worse. And it's in an area where it's a little tender, so I doubt whether Paul will be able to play, Sid.
All right, Norm, we'll talk more about tonight's game at Washington in just 1 minute.
Ice cold Coca-Cola. Great anytime. And when you want lots of it, get Coke in the half-quart size. We call it the bottle with a built-in spare. You get the usual two glasses and a spare. Three full glasses over ice. One. Two. Three. And Coca-Cola has the taste you never get tired of. It's always refreshing. That's why things go better with Coke. After Coke. After Coke. Buy Coca-Cola in half quarts. Say, that's worth singing about.
Things go better with Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coke. After Coke. After Coke. After Coke.
Norm, we know that Sonny Jurgensen's an old favorite of yours. You were on the Eagles, on the same Eagles ball club with him for 3 years. I know you've seen some films of him perform this year. How do you like Jurgensen this year?
Well, Jurgensen has got his weight down. decided to dedicate himself to football. And I think he's going to do a good job for Washington. I hope he don't get real hot against us tonight.
You were saying the other day when I talked to you that he had matured late, that had he matured earlier, he had a chance to be a real great ball player. Could you explain that?
Well, he's the type of boy that the life of professional football affected him. I mean, he liked everything that went with the game more than he did the game itself. Had some domestic problems come up, and now he's 32 years old, and he's finally realized what life's all about, and he's starting to think about the future. And he can play several more years, of course, but it's too bad a young fellow like that with that much ability didn't take advantage of it earlier in his career. He could have had an outstanding career.
You mentioned the receivers. Who are some of his outstanding receivers?
Well, he has that boy Mitchell, a real speed burner from Illinois. You know, he can just flat run by you. And he's got a boy by the name of Smith from Arizona, who we like very much. He's got our end coach, Lou Carpenter's brother, Preston Carpenter, playing tight end. And he's got that boy Richter from Wisconsin. And they converted a quarterback from Pittsburgh by the name of Missouri to a receiver. And he's a very fine receiver. He has enough stuff to hurt you. Going for him, and of course he has that boy Taylor playing halfback, and they just made a trade for Rector, that fine running back from Northwestern with Green Bay, so looks like they're getting some guns together.
All right, Norm, a word from Coca-Cola, and we'll talk more football.
One. Two. Three full glasses over ice from one bottle of Coca-Cola in the half-quart size. The bottle with a built-in spare. You get the usual two glasses and the spare. Coke has the taste you never get tired of. Always refreshing. That's why things go better with Coke after Coke after Coke. Buy Coca-Cola in half quarts. Say, that's worth singing about.
Things go better with Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coke.
Norm, do you have any special plans for tonight's game as far as trying really to win the game?
Well, we always go out in the field trying to win, Sid. We always want to win. Playing 10 rookies, we also have to accomplish this also. These kids are pretty good football players, Sid. I think they may surprise you. We're going to play to win with the people we put on the field, of course. And we have our experienced quarterback going for us, Francis Tarkington. And this is always a plus, I feel, anyway.
I suppose the toughest job for a coach is cutting the squad, especially when you get this close.
Well, we're down to the last 9 fellas, of course, and this is a time when the players want to know how they stand, and they're getting pressure from their wives at home as to when they should come to the Twin Cities or if they're going to make it and come to the Twin Cities, and they're having children and things like this, and it's a very trying time, and only time will take care of it. And fellas being as young as they are, some of them can't understand it and become a little impatient, but on the other hand, as I said, time's the only answer.
Well, Norm, I hope those rookies play real good tonight and hope they give you a real problem cutting that squad next week.
Well, thank you very much. I hope so, too. It's a nice problem.
Listen for the Vikings preview show with Coach Norm Van Brocklin before every Vikings football game. Your host, the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Minnesota. Score with the Vikings, win with Coke, and let's rip the Redskins. A big night of sports on WCCO Radio. The Vikings game coming right up. Then the Minnesota Twins.
Hello, Blanche. Me, flew in this morning. United Airlines. Fun! The first day I'm there. Where'd I get the money? You kidding? Charged it. United Personal Travel Credit Card. So, that afternoon at the pool... No catches. You take your trip, pay for the flight later, little by little. So listen, I'm just about to take a dip when... No, the credit card is free. Any United Airlines office. Well, I was wearing this cute little bikini. Huh? A trip? You and Harry? You're on your way to get a United Airlines personal travel credit card. But Blanche, I... Blanche? How she ever got Harry. She never hears a word you say.
By the friendly skies of United.
CCO temperature in the Twin Cities now 84 degrees. Wind southwest at 12 miles an hour, 48% humidity. Barometer steady, 29.90. Skies are clear. Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis at 830. This is WCCO.
Minnesota Vikings football is on the air. The exciting play-by-play action of Minnesota Vikings football is brought to you by Minneapolis Federal, with 8 convenient offices in St. Paul, Minneapolis, Midway, Bloomington, Golden Valley, Robbinsdale, and Apache Plaza. Put Minneapolis Federal's progress partners to work for you. 75 years experience plus 4.5% earned power. Vikings football is also brought to you by your Twin Cities Ford dealers. Your Ford dealer is now offering you once-a-year savings on the best-selling Ford ever, the 66 Fords. His official 1966 Ford clearance sale means right now you can drive a Ford of your very own at the biggest savings of the year. And now for the play-by-play action of Vikings football, we're on the go with Ray Christensen and CCO Radio sports director, Paul Giel.
Hello, sports fans. We're wondering the
second
same thing you are. Here we go.
83,000 fans are expected. As you might expect, not all of them are here yet. The weather, beautiful. Last year we had gale winds and warnings out for all the small craft on Lake Erie. Tonight we have 77 degrees, sunshine reflecting very brightly into our eyes off the lake, although that reflection will be gone pretty soon. And the wind on Lake Erie, southwest 10 to 18. It's less than that in the stadium, although it's unpredictable in the stadium. That wind will send little currents running around the circle right by the stands, and it'll do funny things on the field. The Vikings have won 13 of their last 14 exhibition games. They tied Detroit this year 6-6, beat Pittsburgh 35-6, and Los Angeles 24-10. Washington lost to Baltimore 35-0, and then played well, but lost to Chicago 24-10. We'll have the starting lineups for you in 1 minute. The first half of Minnesota Vikings football is presented by Minneapolis Federal, where the progress partners of experience and earned power help your family accomplish its thrift goals. Minneapolis Federal at the sign of the tree. 8 convenient offices. If you've ever been caught in the rain without protection, you know the results can be mighty uncomfortable. The same thing applies to thrift. If an emergency arises or a more pleasant opportunity, such as a vacation or a special purchase, you want to have the money to go ahead and meet it without worry. Of course, everyone agrees saving is a good idea, but to put it into practice and keep thrift going is oftentimes a difficult, good habit to cultivate. Why not make a mid-year resolution right now to save a little each month? Open your passbook account at the best place around, Minneapolis Federal, the friendliest, most experienced thrift institution anywhere. Minneapolis Federal has an unequaled record of dividend growth and safety. Here at the sign of the tree, 75 years experience go into making your savings safe with the added attraction of plenty of earn power. Minneapolis Federal has 8 convenient offices, 2 in downtown St. Paul, downtown Minneapolis, Midway, Bloomington, Golden Valley, Robbinsdale, and Apache Plaza. I hope you'll visit one soon. With the starting lineups, and you'll hear the names of some rookies when the Vikings lineup comes up, here's Paul Giel.
Thank you, Ray. For the Washington Redskins, coached by Otto Graham in his first season as the head man of the Redskins. At left end, Jerry Smith, 6'2", 208 pounds, Arizona State. At left tackle, Mitch Johnson, 6'4", 251, UCLA. Left guard, Darrell Dess, 6 feet tall, 245, North Carolina State. At center, Len Haas, 6'2", 235, Georgia. Right guard, Vince Promuto, 6'1", 245, Holy Cross. At right tackle, Fran O'Brien, 6'1", 255, Michigan State. From Arkansas, right end, Preston Carpenter, 6'1", 208 pounds, brother of the Vikings coach, Lou Carpenter. Quarterback, Sonny Jurgensen, 6 feet tall, 205 pounds, from Duke. At left halfback, Danny LeBlanc, 5'11", 200 pounds, LSU. At fullback, Tom Urbanek, 5'11", 220, Penn State. And at flanker, Bobby Mitchell, 6 feet tall, 196, Illinois. For the Minnesota Vikings, at left end, Paul Flatley, 6'1", 187, Northwestern. Left tackle, Chuck Arobio, 6'2", 255, Southern California. Left guard, Minnesota's Milk Sunday, 6'2", 245. At center, Mick Tinglehoff, 6'1", 237, Nebraska. At right guard, Jim Ballone, 6'2", 255, Southern Cal. Right tackle, Doug Davis, 6'4", 240, Kentucky. Right end, Hal Betzel, 6'4", 235, Southern Cal. Fran Tarkenton is the quarterback, 6 feet tall, 190, Georgia. Left halfback, Dave Osborne of North Dakota, 205 pounds, 6 feet tall. Fullback, Bill King, 6'4", 220, Vanderbilt. And at flanker, Lance Rensel, 6'2", 215, Oklahoma.
The Vikings won the toss and elected to receive. They're the defending the gold to our right. Paul Kraus will kick off. Charlie Gogolak is able to kick off, but that's not his specialty. His specialty is field goal kicking, and we watched him putting a lot of them from the 50 in pregame practice. There's the kickoff. It's very shallow. Mike Fitzgerald takes it on the 10. He was back with Lindsay. Cuts to the right, the 20. The 25 spins away from one tackle, and then Snowden throws him back from the 25. He's likely to be marked at that point. Jim Snowden was shifted to a tight end in that experiment for the first two ball games. He's back at tackle now and will be the starting offensive tackle. The official indicating an offsides against Washington, I believe, on the play. The Vikings ran it out to the 25-yard line, and they have elected to take the penalty, so the ball will be brought back to the 35 of the Washington Redskins, and Paul Kraus will be kicking again from that point. Last year, Vikings beat Washington at Charlotte, North Carolina in a preseason game 20-16. And Paul, I thought of the five teams the Vikings played in preseason play last year, Washington, especially in that second half, was by far the best.
Well, that's right. As we were saying, Ray, a couple of more minutes and possibly the Redskins could have pulled out that exhibition game.
So we'll kick again. Paul Kraus, great defensive specialist and the kickoff man for the Washington Redskins, at least thus far he is. Pat Richter does the punting. And Gogolak, the field goal on extra points. Here comes Kraus. His kick again is very short. He won't even get to the deep men. It's taken on the 25-yard line by Brown, the 35-yard line, the 40, and he drags two, three men out to the 45-yard line. Tackle made at that point by Joe Bellis of Penn State, and the Vikings will take over from their own 45-yard line. So they made the right choice in taking the penalty.
Fans here in Cleveland, of course, will remember that Bill Brown, who returned that kickoff, had a fabulous day when the Vikings defeated the Cleveland Browns here last season. I don't remember just exactly how many yards, Ray, but quite an afternoon.
He sure did. Rensel to the right, Flatley to the left. The give goes off now to Phil King, who hammers ahead for not over 2 yards, and then is stopped and thrown back. Phil understandably worried about his knee, but he made a decision. He said, I'm going to quit worrying about the knee. I've been in this league 9 years, and I didn't get this far with worry.
Phil was a tremendous asset to the New York Giants in the late 50s and early 60s before he moved on to the Pittsburgh Steelers and then, of course, to the Minnesota Vikings. And he's a big guy, and that knee, he claims, is coming around.
This time, the strong side to the left puts Rensel, the flanker, to that side. Back to pass is Tarkenton in the pocket, looking up the middle, shoots it up the middle, hits Betzola 49. He goes to the 40 of the opponent, goes down to the 30-yard line, and crashes across to the 29. A very hard tackle bringing him down by Chris Hamburger, but he carried Hamburger with him. Hal Betzola going straight out, then taking it on the slant, grabbed it almost at the midfield stripe and ran it down to the 29 of Washington for a first down. Total gain on the play, 24 yards.
This is a play pass action where they fake the fullback into the middle. They swing King out to the right to take that linebacker out of there. And then Hal Betzel from his left end spot there held up for a second, then cut over the middle, and the linebacker was missing and he was open.
There's the give now to Osborne trying to move left. He won't get to the line of scrimmage. He is stopped at close to the 31-yard line, making the tackle. Lonnie Sanders first, and the follow-up on the play by Willie Adams. Defensive end is Adams. Sanders is safety man. Ball on the 31, a loss of two. It'll be second down, 12 to go for a first down.
Washington Redskins were defeated earlier in the season by the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Colts, but against the Bears, to show that they have a pretty decent defensive team, they held the great Gale Sayers of the Bears to 28 yards and 10 carries.
Strong right. That puts Rensel as a flanker on that side, Flatley to the left. Harkonnen back to pass on 2nd and 12. Has to scramble. Cutting off to his right now. The rush is on, and he does not get away. Following him all the way was Willie Adams to slam him down out near the 45-yard line. Ball be spotted at the 44 fire. The 44, a loss of 13-yard line. 13 yards, putting it back to the 44-yard line of Washington. It'll be 3rd down and 25 to go.
There's an unusual situation. Mick Tinglehoff, who was fading back from center to block for Fran Tarkenton, actually got bumped by a defensive man into Fran Tarkenton at that particular second. Fran was ready to throw, had to change his plans then because he was thrown off balance by the bump from Tinglehoff, and then had to scramble to the right and was stopped.
Rentzel is coming wide to the left, flatly to the right. Rentzel is the flanker, so that's a strong left. Flanker always split to the strong side for the Vikings. Tarkenton gets that ball. He's back to pass, has protection, looks up the middle, is hit and down right at the 50-yard line by Willie Adams. Sam Huff. No, Ron Snyder is the other one on the tackle. The ball right on the 50. It's way out of field goal range. Fred Cox stays at the sideline, and Bobby Walden comes in. So the Redskins really covering. They weren't on Bedsole, but they have been ever since. 6 more yards. It'll be 4th down and 31 to go. The ball splitting the 50-yard line as Bobby Walden, averaging 41.3 on his punts, has come in to do the kicking. Richter for Washington has averaged 45.8. He's off to a strong start. Walden, standing back at his 35, kicking from around the 40, gets the snap, gets the kick away, a high spiral. Coming down to Harris at the 13. Gets away from the first two Vikings. Then he tries to go over Hill and doesn't succeed. And Gary Hill nailed him at the 20 and then kind of held out of that ankle and lifted it up as if to say, look what I caught. And he's tough to catch. Ricky Harris returned officially to the 19, where it'll be 1st down and 10 to go. Punt was about 39 yards from the line of scrimmage. So the Redskins with white jerseys, gold pants, burgundy, kind of a maroon. Burgundy is the trim, and that's the color of the helmet. Socks are white and burgundy. Jurgensen, back to pass, is looking, setting, throws it far downfield. It's way overshoot. He intended it for Jerry Smith. Jerry Smith put on the brakes with Mike Fitzgerald right alongside him, and then the pass went, and then he broke for the ball, and Fitzgerald stayed right with him and didn't really have to play the ball at all because they weren't close to it, either one of them. 2nd down, 10 to go from the 19-yard line.
That's the old up, stop, and go. In other words, he went down, as Ray described, right at Fitzgerald, the rookie from Iowa State, and then put on the brakes. And then the minute you have that man coming up on you tight, and if the passer has enough time, in this case Jurgensen did, then the receiver turns it on and hopes to lick you deep.
Smith again to the left. Mitchell to the right. Handoff goes to the fullback, Urbanek, and he is pretty much piled up at around the 20-yard line. They're still unpiling. Tom Urbanek, Kerry, got across the 20 and is still waiting to spot the ball. It's closer to the 21. A gain of 2 and be 3rd down and 8 to go.
We'll set the Vikings defense for you. The ends are Bill Briggs and Carl Eller. Jerry Shea and Mike Tillman are the defensive tackles. Don Hanson of Illinois. Lonnie Warwick is in the middle. Joe Novogratz. Those are the boys backing up the line. Ursel McBee, Gary Hill, Stan Quintana, and Mike Fitzgerald are the deep defensive backs.
LeBlanc is the halfback along with Urbanek behind the quarterback. Preston Carpenter, loose brother, is the tight end. Back to pass, looking for Carpenter. It overshoots him out at the 35-yard line. Jurgensen tried to hit Carpenter, overshot him, and it'll be 4th down and still 8 to go for a 1st down. And a punting situation for Pat Richter. As he and the punting team come on in, they just keep the center in the lineup, and they bring in 10 other men on their punting squad. The deep men for the Vikings, Tommy Mason and Lance Rentzel. You were between them. Rentzel would be to your right. They're back just inside the Vikings' 35-yard line. No score in our ball game. A twilight sort of doubleheader. First game here at Cleveland Municipal Stadium. 83,000 fans. They're selling standing room only. Richter standing on his 6. Right near second base in relation to the infield, just on that grass. Gets a high kick away. Rentzel signals for the fair catch and grabs it out at the 46-yard line. I saw something fly by, and I had to look again to see if it was a flag. It was a seagull, and that, of course, is an occupational hazard for announcers here just off Lake Erie. Fair catch by Rentzel. Vikings ball 1st and 10 from their own 46-yard line.
Of course, Wisconsin fans will remember Pat Richter. Big, tall, and with extremely fine hands and a pretty good leg for punting that football.
Vikings line up, then shift from the I formation to the right King, to the left Osborne. strong right formation, the give to Osborne. On a slant, he can find no room, so he slides outside and winds up getting 2 yards that way to the 48-yard line. Tackle on the play was made by John Rager. Otto Graham persuaded him to come out of retirement, and so he did. And this must be about his 10th year in the NFL. Second down, 8. Vikings on their own 48. Scoreless in the first quarter. Nine minutes, 45 seconds left in the quarter. Flatley to the right, Renfield to the left on a strong left. Targeton has completed one pass, has been thrown trying to pass twice. Ooh, they're ready to blitz, and their flag's all over. Targeton being thrown down way back inside his 35-yard line. Snido, and before that, Carl Kammerer, a linebacker. Now we'll see what the flags are. Every indication that it's against the Vikings, illegal procedure, and of course, Washington turns down the penalty. So that's the third time that Francis Tarkenton has been thrown for a loss trying to pass, as the Redskins are really coming through on him. Back on his own 33-yard line, it's third down coming. That was a loss of 15. It's third and 23 at the moment. Here come the Vikings. Renssel wide to the right, flatly to the left. Strong right formation. Targeting under center. Gets the ball from Tinglehoff. He's back to pass. This time has protection. Sets. He throws. He hits Renssel at the 47, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40-yard line. Changes field to the 35 and down at the 32 or 3-yard line. Beautiful running before he was nailed by Ricky Harris, the cornerback. Renssel took that and immediately cut back to the opposite direction. He was slanting left. He cut, went back right, and it caused two men to miss him completely, and he outran the third one until they finally caught up with him at the 32. Total gain on the play, 35 yards, first and 10 on the Washington 32.
I didn't get a chance to see how the pass developed because I did want to take a good and hard look at the offensive line, and they did an excellent job of protecting for Fran Targeting. He stayed in that pocket at all sorts of time and then finally waited for Renssel to make that break over the middle to be open.
Renssel, the only flanker, on a strong right. First and 10 on the Washington 32, no score. Back to pass is Tarkenton after a fake to King. Throws it out. He hits 20-yard line. Flatley outsteps his man, goes to the 10, to the 5, and goes over for a touchdown. Beautiful play as he faked out play at the 20-yard line and then went on over for the score. They're giving Bill Clay a shot at that starting defensive back in this ballgame, Paul, and he just ran up against Paul Flatley, and I would guess he's a little the wiser for the experience. Total 32 yards on the pass to Flatley for a touchdown. Tarkenton has been thrown trying to pass three times, but he's also completed 3 for 3. Extra point try. Cox boots it right through the middle, as you would expect. 8:27 left in the first quarter. There's a timeout on the field with the score. The Vikings 7, the Redskins nothing. There are many ways that money earns money. Naturally, you choose the way you think best, but only after considering the growth, the safety, the stability of your money's earn power. For many years, families in the Midwest and throughout the nation have preferred to have their money earned steadily and generously within the safety of a passbook savings account at Minneapolis Federal. Minneapolis Federal has the experience feature. 75 years experience in working money so that it will earn sizable dividends without risk, without fluctuation. This is Minneapolis Federal's primary concern and the job it does best within an atmosphere of friendly person-to-person service. The reason Minneapolis Federal does the job better than anyone else is experience. Experience in knowing how to reinvest your money in various types of economic situations and still maintain the high dividend growth rate and the insured safety. Minneapolis Federal's earn power, safety, and service can be the building blocks of your family's thrift program. Open a passbook savings account at Minneapolis Federal with 8 convenient offices. The Vikings, with those two passes, Renssel and Flatley covering most of the distance, officially went 54 yards in 4 plays. But they actually had gotten all the way back to their own 33, and then they went that 67 yards in 2 passes and lead. Cox coming forward as the Vikings lead 7-0. There is his kickoff. High one. Harris waiting for it. Takes it 1 yard into his end zone. Comes to the 5, the 10, the 15, up the middle, the 20. And Hill again is in on the tackle along with Orobio as down he goes at the 26-yard line. Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in preseason play this year, Gary Hill has made more tackles on kickoffs, returns by opposing team, than any other Viking.
Oh, amen. He really hustles. He's from Southern Cal and was on that taxi squad for a while last year and then activated late in the season. And every time, it seems, on a kickoff, he's right down there mixing it up.
Back to pass as Jorgensen throws it out to the flat, hits Smith, and Fitzgerald immediately knocks him out of bounds at the 32. It's a gain of six. It'll be second down and four to go. That's the kind of pass it's virtually impossible to stop if it's properly executed. It was, and Fitzgerald hit his man immediately. Second down coming. Four to go. That's the first completed pass for the Redskins.
As I look down on the sidelines and see Fran Tarkenton, as always, sitting on top of his helmet, talking to Coach Norm Van Brocken, I'm thinking there are two pretty fair heads. You know how Van was excellent at picking apart a defense, and I was wondering that Washington doing a lot of stunning there on Fran, maybe they're starting to find some loopholes where the linebackers are gone and there's an opening.
They give to Urbanek. He fights his way for a couple, and he is wrestled backwards by Carl Eller. Had to wait till Carl turned. I could see it was one of the defensive ends. Carl Eller wrestling him back. Bill Briggs is the other, incidentally. The ball on the 33, a gain of only one, and so it's now third down and three to go. This is one of the toughest calls for a quarterback to make in football, third and three.
Seems to me they were going to start Briggs at the left side there in Eller's spot and move Eller on over to Jim Marshall's position on the right side, give him a rest tonight, but evidently Carl feels a little more comfortable at that left side.
That was why I had to look again, because that was my feeling too, Paul. Back to pass, Jorgensen throws it on the run, and he hits Carpenter, who gets across the 40 to the 41 for a first down before Joe Novogratz and Gary Hill push him out of bounds. It's far enough for the first down on the 41, a gain of eight. Second down, or first down, and the first down for the Washington Redskins. They're on their own 41-yard line. 7-0, the Vikings lead.
We've said it so many times, that's a very difficult pass for a linebacker or a cornerback to cover because the tight end will just hit and slide right straight down the line of scrimmage towards the sidelines. Meanwhile, the linebacker is sort of frozen in place because they will dive a halfback at him, faking the ball to him, and it's pretty tough for him to move to the outside to cover.
Strong left formation. Smith split to the right, Mitchell to the left, to give to LeBlanc, the halfback, and right on him is Don Hanson, and knocks him down at the 43-yard line. Gain of two, it'll be second down and eight to go. Good tackle by Hanson. He hit him very solidly. Just as he was starting to cut into the hole, Hanson hit him front and side, and down he went. Now there's a timeout on the field with a score. The Vikings 7, the Redskins nothing. The values of saving are not entirely in the many wonderful things you can buy or see or give with the money you've saved. Saving is also a feeling, a personal feeling of security and accomplishment, of pride in knowing you're building for the future. This pride carries on to the place where you save your money. Many thousands of families are happily saving with Minneapolis Federal at the sign of the good tree. Minneapolis Federal pays the highest dividends on passbook savings, actually a 4.58% yield for every $100 you save annually. And there's more. Minneapolis Federal offers you a proud background of 75 years' experience. This is the association that has grown up with the Midwest, has come to know its needs, and is now serving its citizens with the most experienced help in thrift. I'd like you to consider the important advantages you have when you make Minneapolis Federal your association. Whether you're 8 or 80, there are wonderful services to discover, futures to plan in Minneapolis Federal's worlds of experience. Paul, the halftime lineup is what? Humes and Reichow?
Jerry Reichow, the old Iowa quarterback. Detroit Lions, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Minnesota Vikings, probably one of their first alumni, you know, very well-known alumni as far as the Vikings football team. Jerry is the director of player personnel for the Vikings, and Harry Humes, the publicity director for the Baltimore Colts.
Who play in the second game against Cleveland tonight? Strong right on second down, eight to go. Back to pass. Jorgensen has good protection, shoots it up the middle, hits Carpenter at the 44 of the Vikings. He's down at the 41-yard line. Gary Hill knocking him down. It's another first down, the gain of the play. 16 yards. So Luke Carpenter's brother, Preston, starting his 11th year, and we were not quite sure. We believed that Lou had played 10 years. So if that's the case, Preston is passing him this season, and right now he's catching passes very well against the Vikings, two in a row for two first downs. Those are the only two completions so far. No, there are three, pardon me, I didn't mark it down. Three for five. Back to pass, Jorgensen shoots it out to the right, hits Mitchell, and he in turn is hit out of bounds by Ursel McBee at the 40, 35-yard line. It's a gain of just 6 yards. They're going to make it the 34-yard line, gain of 7. Second down and 3 to go. And Jurgensen, after missing on his first two passes, is now 4 for 6. And is getting pretty good protection. Now, remember, the Washington Redskins are playing with just one or two exceptions, men like Clay, their first offense and first defense team. Well, the Vikings are starting 10 rookies and a couple of men who are not normally starters but who are in their second or third year with the Vikings. So that's an advantage to the Redskins. Vikings lead 7-0. Second man by, LeBlanc gets it and is smacked and driven back. He may have gotten 1 yard on forward progress, but it'll certainly be no more than that. The man who hit him first was Don Hanson. And he didn't get a real good grip on it because he had to drive a blocker aside. But he got enough of a grip on him so that he got help in a hurry. Ball on the 33, a gain of 1. It's third down and still a long 2 to go for a first down.
Those cornerbacks have a rough assignment tonight. Bobby Mitchell, veteran receiver from Illinois, playing for the Washington Redskins, is extremely quick. He caught about 60 passes last year for 6 touchdowns for the Redskins, and that was an off year. And he's familiar to Cleveland Brown fans because he played here originally before going to the Redskins.
From a strong right, back to pass, Jurgensen throws and hits LeBlanc, and he in turn is wrestled down by Stan Quintana, but he got inside the 30 for a first down at the 28-yard line. So it was a gain of 5, and that's 5 in a row that have been hit by Jurgensen. His passing really sharpening up now. And all 3 first downs have been on passes for the Redskins. They're 1st and 10 on the Vikings 28. Vikings lead 7-0, but the Redskins have moved right down the field on passes from their own 26. They've run the ball too, but without success. The passes, that's another matter. They've been successful. Smith going out to the left, Mitchell to the right. Redskins, like the Vikings, always line the flanker on the strong side. So Mitchell is on the right, on a strong right. Back to pass, looking for Mitchell. He hits him at the 23, and McPhee is not faked out. He hits him inside the 20. It will be probably another first down. It has not been called yet. The game was appeared to be just over 10, and it went where the chain gang went, so they can rule, and they do. It is a first down on the 17-yard line, and Jurgensen is really picking the Vikings apart at the moment with his passes he's completed. 6 in a row.
And all he's doing is little simple short passes down and out. For example, Bobby Mitchell is so fast that McBee or any cornerback is extremely afraid that he's going to fake that sideline pattern and turn it up into the end zone for a touchdown. And it's strictly man-on-man coverage so far.
Now the entire field in shadow for the first time. There's the draw play to Urbanek, and the Vikings weren't fooled. Jerry Shea reached right over and tackled him. He'll have, at the most, a 1 yard gain to the 16, where it'll be second down and 9 to go.
Where Sonny Jurgensen looks over to the sidelines from time to time, and he looks right smack in the eyes of another great quarterback of yesteryear, so to speak, Otto Graham, who finished his pro career with the Cleveland Browns in 1955. Counting his time in the Old American Football Conference and the NFL, he led the Cleveland Browns to 10 championships.
This time, Carpenter becomes a slot back on the left side. He moves way out away from the line. Back to pass is Jurgensen looking now. He hits Carpenter at the 12, and he gets away from Quintana, and then the wrestled out of bounds by Hanson at the 5-yard line. Got away from Hill rather than Quintana. Got away from Hill. And then Hanson got him in turn. In fact, Hanson had to come a long way to prevent a touchdown, but he did. The ball will be marked for a first down at the 4-yard line, where it's first down and goal to go. Jurgensen with one of the longest string of completions we've seen in quite a while. He's hit 7 in a row after missing his first 2. Those came in the previous drive. These have all come in this drive, which is on the 4-yard line, goal to go. 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Vikings lead, but the Redskins are really knocking at the door. Strong right, back to pass. Jurgensen sets, trying to hit Mitchell out of his hands at the 2-yard line. As McBee came up and was falling a little bit, but he fell into Mitchell as the ball got to him, and Mitchell had to stretch a little for it. That made sure he didn't catch it. So it's an incomplete pass. That ends the string at 7. He's 7 for 10 now, and it's 2nd and goal on the 4.
Imagine, if you will, Bobby Mitchell, who's about a 9-9 man in a uniform. He's isolated out there 15 yards. It's man-on-man coverage, and you're Ursel McBee. And you are working in your second year and hoping to make the ball club. And this fellow has tremendous speed and agility, and you don't know whether he's going to fake to the sidelines or then run that slant in towards the goalpost. Very, very difficult to cover.
Strong right formation. The give now to Urbanek, who fights for 1 yard at the most. Second man to hit him was Novogratz, and I couldn't see the first Viking. He got him coming straight at me, where I'm looking down.
The expression is a host of others, Ray.
A host of others, yeah. Well, leading the host, he's just getting up now, is Carl Eller. The ball is still closer to the four than to the three. Call it no gain. Third down and goal to go on the four-yard line.
Jerry Shea playing left tackle tonight for the Minnesota Vikings. Their number one draft choice from Purdue. Big, rough, aggressive kid, and the Vikings have high hopes for him.
Mitchell is the flanker right. No other men set out on this strong right. Back to pass. Jurgensen looking for Mitchell. Then he flips it quickly out now. LeBlanc is hit at the six for a loss. Coming up was Gary Hill. He stayed right with him. It was a pretty good play. It again was one-on-one coverage. If LeBlanc beats Hill, it's a touchdown. If he doesn't, they lose a yard or two. They lost 2 yards to the six. And Mr. Gogolak coming in to sidewind one through the goalpost if he can.
And when what Ray means, the sidewinder, he kicks soccer style. And we were watching him in pregame practice from about the 50-yard line, too, and with some despair from time to time. Their number one draft choice from Princeton.
He set a college record by kicking 50 in a row, extra points.
Broke
his
brother's
record.
His
brother had 44. That was the record, Brother Pete. And now he's facing right toward the near corner, but he kicks it back to the left and right through the middle. It's a field goal. I forgot to spot that ball. Paul, was it about the 12-yard line?
Yes, indeed.
12-yard field goal by Gogolak with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter makes the score 7-3 in favor of the Vikings. Let's pause for 10 seconds. This is where you hear the play-by-play broadcasts of the Minnesota Vikings.